Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Dorky Mets podcast. I'm your host, Charlie DeLuca, and with me this week, just with me this week, all the way from Holland, Corné Hoogeveen, no Dell this episode. He's too sad about the Mets losing the series against the Braves, getting swept in Atlanta over the weekend. So he decided to take the week off from the Dorky Mets podcast. So just Corné today. And it's been a tough week in Metsland, Corné.
Yeah, it's been tough. Last week, Thursday, we won that game, and then the Braves lost. They really thought, well, one game in Atlanta, and we have it in our own hands. So we don't need to sweep them. We don't need to win the series. We just need to win one game, and we have Jake, Max, and Bassett on the mound for those three games. You have to figure out we would have won one. But that's baseball, and it didn't happen. And we got outplayed, we got swept, and that turned the corner. And after Sunday, we knew that we would be the wild card team. So unfortunate, still a great season, but it is unfortunate.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. I'm not really sure how to feel, Corning. I know we talked a couple episodes ago about the importance of winning the division, getting that bye, not having to play in that extra wild card round with the expanded playoffs. So obviously that's a big negative, right? The fact that they have to play an extra round. They might not have a chance to set up their pitching staff well. You know, if you're throwing Jake and Max against the Padres this weekend, you might only have them once against the Dodgers if you're able to beat San Diego. And obviously, it's just, you know, more games to win. It's going to be hard. It'll be interesting to see, you know, after a couple of years of these expanded playoffs, how well the wild card teams do, and if it proves to be a much harder task to win that extra round to get farther in the playoffs, right? So there's that. Then there's the fact that I don't know if you can say it's a blown lead. They didn't choke it away. Obviously, the Braves were, you know, playing at a 110, 115 win pace since the beginning of June. But at the same time, you know, 10 and a half game lead. Obviously, it got trunken down, but then, you know, there were times in the last month or so that they got it back up to 2.5, 3 games. You know, so there was always that sense that every time the Braves took a step forward, the Mets would battle back and keep them at bay. And then, like you said, up until Sunday, right before, you know, Sunday night with Bassett on the mound, the Mets controlled their own destiny. You know, they could have lost 2 out of 3. And, you know, clobber the Nationals like they've been doing these past couple, you know, yesterday with a doubleheader, they would have controlled their own fate. And like you said, Jake, Scherzer, you know, DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett on the mound, you know, two of the best pitchers of this generation in DeGrom and Scherzer, Bassett, who's been your most consistent pitcher. You'd think that you'd win one of those games, right? I mean, it's really tough to go in there and I mean, none of them. I mean, DeGrom pitched okay, but he pitched okay for, you know, a back end starter. You know, three runs in 6 innings. That's not the DeGrom we've become accustomed to, and really, that's not what the Mets needed from DeGrom that night. They needed that, you know, 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, no runs, 2 hits, DeGrom. Contrastly, though, and this is what you were kind of hinting at, Corné, this is only the fourth time, the fifth time that the Mets have won 100 games in their franchise's history. So this type of season has been few and far between for the Mets. So it's hard as someone who hasn't witnessed a 100 win season in my Met fandom to count this season as a disappointment. I think if they were to lose to the Padres this weekend, then obviously that question becomes more justified. But at this current juncture, I have mixed feelings. 100 win season, but at the same time, 10 and a half game lead, had a chance to control your own destiny up until the fourth to last game, and your three best pitchers kind of all crap the bed in that Atlanta series.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you ask me from the beginning of the year that we would win 100 or maybe 101 games and we would have been beaten out by the Braves, you said, well, oh well, we had a great season. So,
right.
But the way that's this September ended is just not great. Even if you weren't getting swept by the Cubs and lost 2 out of 3 against the Nationals earlier this month, then this Atlanta series didn't even matter. So we didn't do that well. Then we got everything in our own hands before the Atlanta series, not even needing to win the series, and we couldn't do it. So that makes it a little, I want to celebrate what this team accomplished, and I'm really trying to do that. But I mean, it's still bittersweet at the end that we had the division, and we had it, we lost it, and there's no other way around it. We had chances to do that and to get the division, and we didn't take those chances. And kudos to the Braves. I mean, they played a heck of a series. They faced, I mean, obviously they saw the three pitchers who they're going up against, and they battled. They did what they did all year. They hit home runs a little bit. They are better suited for the short series, in my opinion, with some great pitching and with those home runs. If the Mets don't hit that many home runs, they are a little bit iffy against good pitching, because good pitching is normally not really, you know, allowing multiple hits or walking allowed guys after and after. So it was an iffy series, but I never expected with these three guys that they gave up the leads, because Max Scherzer got the lead twice and
yeah,
he gave it up. I think Jacob deGrom in that first game got a lead. He gave it up.
Yep.
So it's not like the offense didn't give him any runs. They didn't give him a lot. I have to say that. But two aces on that caliber, getting a couple of leads, you would have expected to one of those guys to be able to hold it. And they, home runs, I mean, it were home runs. Jay gave up 3 solo shots. Normally you would say, hey, 3... if you allow home runs, let it be solo shots. So that's the way those two guys pitching. But yeah, they were low scoring games against good Atlanta pitching that our aces, in my opinion, didn't do well enough.
Yeah, no, certainly not. And I think you mentioned something that's key there, in that all 3 games the Mets took the lead. You know, pretty early on. I think they scored in the first 2 innings in all 3 games. So, you know, obviously it's tough to get swept in a series like that. But on top of it, to have a lead in all 3 games is even tougher. And then you also mentioned the fact that, you know, there was this sentiment around the team that they have this easy schedule in September. They face all of these under 500 teams, you know, the Nationals, the Pirates, the Cubs. And, you know, I think they maybe got a little bit complacent. You mentioned getting swept by Chicago, losing 2 out of 3 to the Nationals at home. You win one of those games, 2 of those games, and it's a completely, you know, instead of going 1-5 in those 6 games, if you go 3-3, and that's certainly not that tall of an order because of the quality of those 2 teams and the quality of the Mets, playing 500 in those 6 games rather than 1-5 gets you to the division, right? I mean, it's obviously you could, you know, nitpick, you know, any two games, but certainly coming into September, it was thought to be an easy schedule. They're going to, you know, maybe extend the lead a little bit. That series in Atlanta might not matter so much because of the cushion that they have. And here they are now having to play on Friday against the Padres.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, the Padres will be tough. we're probably going to get into that series in this episode, but it's not really an easy task. So that's a bit iffy. I think the Mets are beating up on the Nets to get some confidence, so that's good. But it's not an easy series.
No, certainly not. And let's get into that series now. Nice little segue there. The matching up against the Padres, obviously they were that team that made that big trade at the deadline, getting Juan Soto and Josh Bell. Hasn't really worked out for them. Soto has been not very Soto-like. Bell has been almost unplayable. But they're still a really good team. And I think where we should start here, Corny, is the pitching, because I'm not sure if they announced it yet. I know the Mets haven't, but I would think that the Padres will probably go with some combination of Yu Darvish, Blake Snell in those first two games, and then maybe Sean Manaea in game three. Maybe they'll switch Manaea and Snell, but I can almost guarantee that Yu Darvish will pitch that first game. And the Mets have struggled against Darvish in the past. He throws a lot of pitches, which always seems to confuse the Mets. I remember he made a start in that first series coming out of the All-Star break at Citi Field that the Padres had against the Mets, and he was dominant. And then, obviously, whether they pitch Snell and Manaea in Game 2 or Game 3 should it get there, the Mets have struggled all year against left-handed pitching. They haven't been able to find the right rhythm. You know, couple that with the fact that Marte might miss the series. You know, you get the sense that he's still a ways away, hasn't really been able to grip a bat or a ball. So, you know, you already have a team that struggles against left-handed pitching. You take away one of their better right-handed hitters, and that all of a sudden thins the lineup. I mean, thins the lineup in general, but especially against the southpaws. So, I'm a little worried about the offense against Darvish and those lefties in San Diego.
I do believe that they were going to get Musgrove in there instead of Manaea.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But
I knew they had a third pitcher. I couldn't think of his name.
It's okay. I think maybe Manaea would be better for them to face us. And if they get through it, they have Musgrove for the coming Dodgers series, because I do believe that the Mets are having so much issue against lefties, it wouldn't be a bad idea for them. But please don't listen to this podcast.
AJ Preller and Bud Black, don't listen to the dorky bitch.
Don't do it.
Pitch Musgrove.
Yeah, pitch Musgrove. I think we have a better. I think both. I mean, Musgrove is not an easy task as well.
Darvish,
we always have a lot of issue against Darvish. So I mean, I'm not really confident in getting that. Besides, maybe I would go with Max in game one, because I do believe in Max bouncing back, being that big game pitcher, that he will be able to put zeros on the board and at least keep the Mets in the game if they face Darvish. Snell has been awfully good lately. He's not having a great season, but I mean, in the last 2 months he's been finding it, so that's not really a comfortable feeling. So the Padres won't be easy. I see a lot of people saying, yeah, just maybe it's just two games more that we have to play. Well, let's hope so. I mean, I don't think it will be an easy game, easy series. Obviously, playing at home should help with the crowd behind us, all three games at home. I think that's a definite plus, should be a definite plus for this team. I hope we get through it. If I have to put my bets on it, I think the Mets will get through it, but I think it won't be easy. So then you probably have pitched those three guys, so Jake, Max, and Bassett, and going into the Dodgers series with Tyler Walker as your game one starter against the Dodgers. So, yeah, I mean, I'd rather had just the off days and face the Cardinals and Phillies.
Yeah, that's one of the main issues with not winning the division is that not only do you have to play this extra round, but like you said, all of a sudden your pitching is stretched out a little bit and your fourth guy is pitching game one of a best of five series. So definitely not ideal.
But let me ask you this. Do you think the Mets have a better shot at beating the Dodgers in a 5 or 7 game series?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, they played the Dodgers well this year, right? They took two out of three at Citi Field, and they split a four-game series in L.A. You know, I think, you know, it really all depends on how many times DeGrom and Scherzer can go, I think, because that's what this team was built around, right? Having those two guys at the front of the rotation in a shortened series, pitching twice. So, like you said, if you're throwing – DeGrom and Scherzer in this Padres series, those guys are only probably pitching once against the Dodgers. Maybe, you know, you'll have one of them available for a potential game five out of the bullpen, but who knows if we'll get there. And it will definitely be challenging no matter, you know, what series it is against the Dodgers. But I think in terms of a 5 or 7 game series, I'll probably say 7 because – this way, I think the Dodgers' main weakness is the back end of the bullpen. And so I feel like in a 7-game series, you're going to have to use different guys. So maybe they could potentially exploit that weakness from L.A. But I really don't know. I think we're getting a little far ahead of ourselves. But I think in terms of how the Mets match up, I always think they'd be better off maximizing DeGrom and Scherzer. So for me, I think that'd be in a 7-game series. But I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, let's hope we win the first game.
Let's hope. And then... I was going to say, you were saying how this might only be 2 more games that the Mets have to play.
Exactly.
It might, but they might lose both of them and their season is over. So,
let me ask you this. If we win game one with Max on the mound, who would you pick game two?
I was just going to ask this question because I've heard a lot and I've seen a lot of talk, I guess you could say, around the idea of pitching Bassett in game two, right? So that, you know, and this is all contingent on the Mets winning game one, because obviously if they lose game one, you're going to go with Scherzer or DeGrom, whoever didn't pitch game.
Yeah, obviously.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You're going to go with your horses there. Yeah. I would definitely pitch Bassett. I mean, he's been solid, and he's had, you know, one or two blimps on the radar. Obviously, Sunday in Atlanta was one of them, but I think that saving, you know, let's say I think they'll probably go Scherzer game one just because he's been there before, right? Won a World Series. You know, he has the pedigree. DeGrom does too, but I think you probably go with Scherzer game one.
I agree.
I would definitely go with Bassett, you know. He's been solid. He's been their most consistent pitcher. And I think he's more than capable of delivering a quality start. And if you lose, then you have Jacob DeGrom in a winner-take-all game. So I think, you know, worst case scenario, you have the best pitcher in the last 5 years in a essentially a game seven. So I think, you know, that way, like we were talking about just now, you save DeGrom for game one against the Dodgers. You know, you can have Walker go game two, Scherzer game three. I feel like it just makes the rotation much more formidable if you were to sweep the Padres in a 2-game series with Bassett on the mound for game two.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, this team, it's good to go wild card round, but you want more. So, yeah. I mean, I don't want to, you know, but the Phillies, with all due respect, they probably aren't going to win the World Series, and they probably understand that they wouldn't. So for them, it's probably, you know, get through a couple of rounds and see where it's ended. But for us, we were an 100 win team, so we should be capable of beating everybody within the postseason. So you really have to. I mean, I don't care. If we win the wild card game, if we then after that lose the National League Division Series, for me, honestly, that wild card, yeah, I mean, fun that we won a couple of games, but it doesn't really matter then if we lose, end up losing to the Dodgers. So I really think the match management should look at with, I mean, both together. And I mean, if we get through the Dodgers series, then you probably have the, you know, you have a 7-game series, a lot of games, so you probably have Max and Jake anyways for probably 2 games. But that Dodgers series is the one series that you really have to manage the Padres series. And obviously, if we lose game 1, you have to go all in for, you know, for getting it. But if you win game 1, I think you have to try to win game 2 with Bassett.
Yeah, no, I think for sure. And, you know, in an ideal scenario or an ideal world, right, Scherzer goes 7 innings, gives up 1 run, and then you have Ottavino for the 8th and Diaz for the 9th, or Diaz for 2 innings, right? So that is the best case scenario, but that, you know, as we know, that might not happen. So I think that Showalter is definitely planning to use Bassett in game 2 should the Mets win game 1, just because then you have DeGrom against the Dodgers or DeGrom against the Padres in a winner-take-all. So I think, you know, either way, I, you know, it's impossible for me to tell what will happen. I like that. I think the Mets pitching matches up well with the Padres hitting. But I also thought that about them and the Braves, right? The Braves strike out a lot. The Mets pitchers have a lot of strikeouts. Unfortunately, Atlanta, every time they hit the ball, it seems to leave the yard. So hopefully that doesn't happen with the Padres. They have a lot less power than Atlanta, obviously, with Soto struggling, no Fernando Tatis Jr. for the whole season. So a lot less formidable bats in the San Diego lineup. So I'm being cautiously optimistic about this series. But yeah, I think the idea of pitching Bassett game 2 is the route that they should take. Let's get into the rest of the roster construction. Obviously, with a 3-game series, you're probably only going to carry the 3 starters on your roster. And obviously, you could change the roster and add to it as the season goes on. And it's 26-man roster for postseason? Is that how it is?
Yeah. I think we're going through with 26-man roster.
Yeah, so obviously, the main guys are going to be there, right, Corner? You're going to have Alonso at first, McNeil, Guillorme, Lindor, Escobar, Nimmo, Canna, Naquin, I would say, is a lock. Vogelbach is a lock. Are there any surprises from you? Let's just run through the list of guys you think that should be on the roster. Potentially, obviously, there's a lot of X factors with some guys who the Mets have called up in September.
Well, it's funny you mentioned they only need 3 starters. I had 4 starters on my list, mainly because if you put a guy on the IL when they are hurt to bring somebody up, they miss the pitch as well.
Okay.
So I think it's a safety net to have a 4th starter on the roster. So when you, maybe, you know, you have somebody who is aching a little bit, a pitcher is aching a little bit, a dead arm, so he can make that start, but he can be available for the division series. Sorry, you have to have guys. So for that reason, I picked Walker, obviously, to be our 4th starter on our roster. So okay. Jake, Max, Bassett, Walker are the 4 starters I have. Obviously, Diaz, Ottavino, Lugo, May, Joely. I did pick Peterson, Smith, and Williams to round up the bullpen.
Okay.
I went with 12 pitchers, because I think we could use some. I think we could use a 3rd catcher to make it easy for the manager to pinch hit or pinch run for our current catcher. So Nito McCann and Alvarez. So Alvarez makes it in my list. And I have on the back end of the roster, so to speak, I have Gore, who obviously can pinch run, play a little bit of center field if needed, and Mark Vientos to be that bat if needed for a catcher. And we obviously need a DH against the left-handed pitcher, so Alvarez or Vientos could be those guys.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good, solid roster. They have been reports, I guess. Showalter was kind of lukewarm on the subject about Ruff being ready for Friday. Do you think that if he is active, would you have him on the roster over someone like Vientos?
I mean, Ruff hasn't showed anything to warrant a postseason roster spot. So I'd rather give it to a guy like Alvarez who can catch. And I mean, I would have three catchers on the roster on the playoffs. I'm not saying, I see a lot of people, you know, raving about the game he had yesterday. He had a great game yesterday. And obviously that's great to see. But he's still a young 20-year-old, so I don't want to put too much pressure on him. But he's still a guy who can catch. So for me, that's the main reason to pick Alvarez. And if he hits well, I mean that's a bonus for me. But for me, it's the reason he can be there on an emergency. He can pinch hit for maybe James McCann if he is in there, and get a good at bat out of him, and he can also DH catcher if that's an emergency plan. So for me, that's the main reason I would pick Alvarez. Also, if Ruff had performed, it was an easy choice, but he just hasn't.
Yeah,
and I also think Vientos deserves it over Ruff because Ruff just looks lost right now.
Yeah, no, he definitely does, and. It was interesting timing with Alvarez coming up that he was conveniently injured. Obviously, he might be nicked up more than just a coincidence. But I like the fact that you have Alvarez as the third catcher on the roster, so that you can pinch hit for Nito or McCann with someone like a Vogelbach or Naquin, or obviously, with Gore on the roster, potentially you're going to pinch run him for a catcher in the late innings if it's a close game. So having Alvarez on the bench as a pinch hitter and as a defensive replacement should you need to pinch run for one of the other catchers, I think is a good idea. I think that obviously with Marte out, you're going to see probably Naquin and right field, or maybe let's get into this. Would you rather see Naquin in right field and McNeil at second, or McNeil in right field and Guillorme at second? Obviously, with the left hander on the mound, it might change a little bit, but let's say game one, you Darvish on the mound. What would your ideal lineup be for the Mets?
I think with Darvish on the mound, I would like to see, I think I would like to see Naquin. He's been a better. He's been a pretty solid hitter against right-handed pitchers. I think his OPS is still around 840, 830 against right-handed pitchers. So he's from the Central. I was thinking he was from the National League.
You Darvish was on the Cubs for a couple of years. I'm sure they have a little bit of history, a little bit of overlap there.
He's a little bit familiar with.
Yes.
So I think that helps. And Naquin is not too shabby in right field. He's solid over there. So I would say that I would put Naquin in there and have Guillorme on the bench for game one. On the other end, in game two against Snell, I think Luis Guillorme takes better at bat against left-handers. So if you have to pick between those two guys, in that scenario, I would go with Guillorme against the left. Sucks for Guillorme, by the way, because he isn't that great against lefties too. But with Marte out, he's mostly used against lefties.
Marte is just such a huge loss, obviously. It thins the lineup a little bit more. And I think Naquin and Guillorme are solid replacements, but obviously you'd rather have the all-star Marte out there. And it messes with the lineup too. I mean, that top four had been so consistent all year, right? Nimmo,
yes.
Marte, Lindor, and Alonso were virtually in there every day in the same spot. And they were, you know, a pretty potent, you know, top four. Obviously, Lindor and Alonso both driving in 100. Marte was an all-star and having a great year, and Nimmo was, you know, doing Nimmo things, getting on base any way he can. Obviously, now you've seen a couple of shifts Buck has implemented. Lindor has batted second. Alonso has batted second. What about the lineup construction, 1 through 9? I think, to me, I think ideally it would go Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil, Alonso. You know, Escobar has been hot. You can put him in the 5-hole. You know, you could then you could do Vogelbach, Naquin, who has ever catching, Canna in there as well, probably in the 6 or 7 hole.
Yeah, I agree. I maybe put Canna fifth,
okay,
just to have a guy who takes pitches after Alonso and have that guy who gets on base in front of Vogelbach.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, after Pete, you have Canna who's taking tough bats. If Canna is hitting well, and he had a pretty difficult series in Atlanta, so
he did.
Maybe you have Vogelbach then at fifth. But that's tough. Yeah, I think that's mainly the way to go, to have those four guys at the top with McNeil batting third. And yeah, then I would at least get, yeah, probably Vogelbach fifth, Canna sixth. We have then Naquin seventh.
Yeah, Naquin seventh, and then Escobar eighth.
Oh, Escobar fifth. I agree with Escobar fifth. Sorry.
I was gonna say he won Player of the Month for September in the National League.
Yeah.
So he's been on a tear lately. So I think I'd have him in that middle third of the lineup. And you know, if he stays hot, having Alonso, Escobar, you know, Vogelbach got some power, and then you have Canna to get on base to flip the lineup around. Maybe you know, Nito's been hot. So I think with Escobar kind of coming into his own lately and being the player that we all expected him to be when he signed with the Mets, having him bat behind Alonso would be a nice little combination there if he could stay hot.
I agree. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. All right. So if only we were making the decisions, we could write the lineup card right now. yeah. All right. So let's get into predictions for the series. I kind of tipped my hand earlier. I'm going to go with a 2-game sweep for the Mets. I think Scherzer will bounce back in game one. And I think that Bassett will prove to be what he's been all year, and that's just been a quality pitcher. And I think, obviously, with Diaz at the back end, that's a huge plus. Ottavino's been solid. So I do think that both Scherzer and Bassett will get into the sixth inning at least, and that will be enough. And the offense will do enough against Darvish and Blake Snell or Joe Musgrove, whoever, to give the Mets the series win. I like Lindor to come in clutch a couple times this series as well. So I'm going to go with the 2-game series sweep for New York.
I'm going with Lane. Scherzer, I think that's a guy. He's not for nothing. He's going to be a future Hall of Famer, World Series winner, Cy Young Award winner, et cetera. I can't imagine him faltering twice in a big game like this. And actually, same for Bassett. He had his hiccups, but mostly after the hiccups, besides those that May stretch, he bounced back with a very strong outing. Like you mentioned earlier, the Padres do have some solid hitters on paper, but some just haven't been performing that great. We play a Citi Field, which obviously should be a plus. We have a strong back end of the bullpen that should help in a short series. So, yeah, a fun thing you said, that you said Lindor I'm going with where I thought Jeff McNeil, who's been extremely hot. So he will get some clutch hits and keeps on hitting after winning the betting title, obviously.
I was going to say, yeah, we forgot to mention that McNeil probably win the batting title unless Freddie Freeman goes 4-for-4 in the last game of the season. Yeah, so hopefully we're both right. A nice calm 2-game series sweep. That way on Sunday we can all relax and watch football. We don't have to stress about the Mets, and they get that extra day as well, right? With the division series not coming up until next week, they would have an extra day of rest and be able to reset their rotation with DeGrom going in Game One. But obviously the Mets never really proved to be uneventful, I guess is the right term. They always seem to find a way to get our hearts racing and our blood pressures through the roof. So we'll see. We will see. All right, so wrap up the show. We are going to do a trivia question. Last week, Corne stumped both me and Dell. So without Dell here, I'm going to see if I can get it all by myself. Corne, take it away.
Yeah, well, Dell is just afraid to mess up the trivia question yet again. So I saw in a group chat he had the first one wrong. So if you read that, it wasn't Tyler Naquin, the answer. So Dell, if you probably will listen this back, come on, dude, you should have known that. So Charlie, no pressure. Who were the final outs in the clinchers in the 2015 NL East clincher and the 2016 wildcard clincher? So the outs the Mets got. And hint, both ended up as Mets outfielders.
Okay, well, I know the 2015 one because I was there in Cincinnati when it happened. I had made the 10-hour or so drive from North Jersey for that weekend series and was present for the clincher, which was pretty cool, having all the players come down the line and high-five all the fans because there was obviously a ton of Mets fans there. That was a pretty cool experience. So I know that one was Jay Bruce, the final out. The 2016, that was against the Phillies. So I'm going to say that I'm trying to think. Who played for the Phillies and then played for – I'm going to say it was Aaron Altherr who made the last out in the clincher for that.
Charlie, what are you doing? You got it all correct.
How about that? Aaron Altherr, you know, he was one of those random Mets who was on the team last year when they had like 75. That was a good one. I mean, I knew the Jay Bruce one, but I was just trying to think who played for the Phillies and the Mets in recent times who was an outfielder, and Altherr was the only one I could think of. So
Yeah, I don't think many others were in that category. So good job by you.
Yes, thank you. One for one. Who needs Dell?
Nah, Dell, if he listens to it, this is how you answer trivia questions.
All right. So that will do it for this week's show. Hopefully not the last show we have as with the Mets still playing. I don't know if we'll do one if they get eliminated.
Of course.
Until after the playoffs, at least. Wait until the offseason. But when the Mets season's end, we'll do one. We'll have our chance to rant about the season. So hopefully hopefully it's not next week is all I'm saying. Hopefully.
No, definitely. But we can also talk about fun Mets moments from this year. But let's do that in
yeah, I was going to say, let's wait till after Halloween to get into all that. All right, so that will do it for this edition of the Dorky Mets podcast with Corne Ogeveen. I have been Charlie DeLuca. Thank you. And as always, let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.